Pastor Tony's been preaching out of relationship with you. Whole, deeper, dimensional love. We thank you for that, Lord. Sometimes you have to rearrange things in our lives to get us to that place. Because you've given us the nations. We can't preach out of the past. We have to preach in the future for what you have for the nations. And we thank you for all that you've taught us in these past weeks, Father God, for what we're going to be doing in the near future. It's helped me tremendously. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. I think Pastor Tony spent more time in heaven the last 7 weeks than he has in the last year. Taking that trip and purposely visiting our Father in heaven, Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, who rules over the nations. If he's given us the nations and he's the ruler over the nations, then we're ruler over the nations. In the spirit of the living God. So he's going to pay big dividends in this assembly, in the nations, and the world's going to be affected greatly by it. Because once you set Africa on fire, the whole nation's going to burn. Can't stop those sons and daughters of God. They're a little more wild than we are, a little more high strung than we are. It's like a flood, a mighty rushing wind that cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. When I came in here today, I smelled a certain way. My son got some African soap from his mother, and I've been using it for the last 2 weeks. And it really doesn't have any smell. It's like dull black soap. But after I hugged about 10 of you today, I smelled different. I got perfume on one side, cologne on the other. Holy Ghost. I mean, there's a different fragrance. I could smell it coming off of me. And when we come in the presence of God, when we're his consistent son and daughter, the pupil of his word, the hunger of his life, we're going to start smelling like him. I want to smell like him when I go to Africa. I want to smell like him when I go to work at Fiore. Hallelujah. So we're going to smell like him when we leave today. Open up your hearts today to the King of Kings. Lords, Pastor Tony might be standing here, his lips might be moving, but it's not him. Hallelujah. So we thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. We bless you. We bless what you're doing in our lives. You desire one heart and one mind in this assembly. The elders here desire in the pastor one heart and one mind in our group. We want to sound the same. We want to hear the same. We want to preach the same. And we want to leave this world with Jesus in everything that we do. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's good to see him on his feet, huh? We don't have to worry about him so much because, like he said, he's a kid on roller skates going down the mountain of God. We have to worry about Nancy because she's got to watch him.
Hallelujah. Hey. Amen. Amen. That's a lot of our life now, huh? What the world says we shouldn't be doing, we get to do because of God. because of God. Yeah, I shouldn't be, according to the world, I shouldn't be doing this. Yeah. Take that, devil. Yeah, we our lives need to be a living example of total humiliation to the enemy. Our lives need to be a living example of genuine life of Jesus Christ on display for all to see, right? Right? So we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching our hearts, for releasing transformation beyond anything we've ever thought of or could ever imagine. For showing us more of who we are and who Jesus is. For releasing life in abundance. You've come to give it. You paid for it, Jesus. We receive it. We want to get it all. We want to release it all. Thank you for opening the eyes of our heart today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah. You know, I've found that a lot of things are changing in my life, and it's positive change. It used to be that a lot of my prayers were asking God to do things, asking God to release the things that I need, asking Him to release, I'm stressed out, to release peace and joy, asking Him to release power and authority in my life when I'm in a situation that needs it. I don't do that much anymore. You know what I'm doing? I'm simply asking Him, believing Him, to open my eyes to see what He's already given me, who He's already made me to be. Open my eyes to see who He has become to me right now. If I am just like Jesus, just as He is in heaven right now, if that's how I am, then I want to see it, and I want to walk in it. And that's my prayer over and over again. It's not to get God to come and do something, come and release something, but God to get God to open my eyes to see what I already have, what you already have, right? 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 Amen. Amen. So let's just agree together. I've been singing that song a lot. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Who knows that? Well, I know some people know it. Could somebody that can sound good just kind of lead us in that chorus? Where is she? Would you do that, please? Eyes of my heart, Lord, open. Let it be a prayer. I want to see you. I want to see you. In the eyes of my heart. Wow. to see you. I want to really see you. I want to really, really see you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and knowing that truth will set you free. That word truth means reality, what is really real. He said we will know and be able to see what is really real. All this stuff we're looking at here, it's all going to pass away. We more and more need to believe him to allow us to see what's really real, past the visible, into the visible, into the invisible, which should become visible. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 So, here's what I'm going to do. Anybody go, oh no. We're going to look at a few verses out of the letter to the Colossians. And did you want to say something? Or are you just flagging me down? Oh. Yeah. Look at that face. Oh. Wow. Paul didn't actually go there. He didn't actually meet them, but he had someone who he trained go there. And he wrote them a letter because he wanted to make sure they understood really what it's all about. It's an awesome, awesome letter. And it's like an epistle begins, an epistle about Jesus Christ, about who he is, and how the Father summed everything up. Father was pleased to sum everything up in the kingdom of heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. He was delighted to put everything that he had available, all that he was, in the person of Jesus Christ. And that all glory should go to him. It says that Jesus created all things. Before he came to earth, he was the creator. He created everything for him, to give glory to him. Were you created? Why? To give glory to him. Everywhere we go, to bring glory to him. So let's just look at some of this. I just love Scripture. Don't you? It's amazing. Is it growing on you? Can you feel the roots grabbing hold of you on the inside? Can you feel yourself getting all wrapped around with the roots of the Word of God, that it's beginning to dwell in you and dwell richly inside of you and to dwell powerfully inside of you? Have you found yourself, like when situations come up, you just, what's automatically coming out is the Word? Oh, I love that. When the first response is what the Word of God says, when something hits you, when something comes at you, man, we're coming along. When the first response is our flesh, anxiety, worry, okay, we're on the road. But we need to believe him for more and more of his word to get gripped in us and come through us. Hallelujah. Look what he says. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Yeah. That we would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Thank you that you may walk. I said thank you. You know why I said that? Because I'm constantly saying thank you. I thank him for this word, okay? Put yourself in here. Have communion with the Spirit of God over the Word of God. Speak it back to him. Pray it back to him. Believe it. Trust him to release and produce this in and through you. Okay? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Not increasing in the knowledge of stuff or just Scripture, but increasing in the knowledge of him. Strengthened with all might. How many could use that? Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering. How many could use that? With joy. How many could use that? So I thank you for strengthening me, Lord, strengthening me with your glorious power, making me and releasing through me your long-suffering, your patience, your kindness. Filled with joy, thank you for releasing it in me. Okay, look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Okay, what does it mean to be qualified? Have you ever gone for a job interview and found out what the qualifications are? Maybe you found out you're not qualified for the job. Kind of a bummer. You really wanted it, but you weren't qualified. Yep. Right? You know, our Heavenly Father he's in charge of the kingdom of heaven. He's the head over the kingdom of heaven. It's his. It's his business. It's the Father's business. It's his business. Now, how many of you want to operate in his business? Okay. So, just like any business, you need to be qualified to operate in that business. And you go to some business and then you find out, you don't meet the qualifications. How would you like to go in this? Maybe you want a job at some big company as an executive. You've never had any executive training ever. You've never had any training for this business ever. But you really, really long to do that. And you go in there and you sit down with the CEO. And he says, what are you looking for? I'm looking for a position as an executive to be an administrator in this company. And the guy looks at you. He says, hang on a minute. Opens up a folder. Pulls out a sheet. He says, your father says you're qualified. He owns this company. You think, I'm not at all qualified, but I really want to do this. But he opens it up and he says, your father says you're qualified to be an executive in this company. Your Heavenly Father qualified you. He declared to the spiritual realm, daughter, you're qualified to operate with authority in my kingdom. You are qualified because it's my name that's on your life. You're qualified. What? He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and the light. Wow. What does it mean to partake? Huh? To share, to enjoy, to have available. He's qualified you to partake in this glorious inheritance that Jesus made for us. He qualified you to partake. I like the story of a guy who many years ago, and the only way to get to America was by boat. And he bought a ticket to come over, and he got on the boat, and he thought that he had, you know, the lower class ticket where it didn't include the food, so he was just eating crackers that he brought with him. And one day, one of the stewards went up to him and said, why are you just eating crackers? He said, well, it's not included in my ticket. He said, sir, everyone's ticket. Everyone that's on this boat gets free meals. It's all included. And this guy, he already had it available to him. He already had it purchased for him. He already could indulge and participate and partake in this huge banquet that's there every day, all the food you can eat, and he's eating crackers because he didn't know what had been given to him, what was made available to him. It says here, we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to partake of this glorious inheritance. Wow. 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 See, that takes us out of the beggar realm. It takes us out of the pleading realm. It takes us out of the crying out to God to come and do something for us realm. Because you're a son, you're a daughter whose daddy owns it all, and you've been qualified to be an executive, to execute, to carry out his kingdom work. You may feel extremely unqualified. It don't matter how you feel. You tell your feelings to shut up. Your qualifications don't come through your effort, or through your work, or through what you do. They come through what he has done for you and freely gifted it to you. Hallelujah. 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 Look at verse 13. He has delivered us. What's the tense? He has already. Oh, How many of God's children are still trying to get free? He already has. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He took you out of the power of darkness and He put you into the kingdom of love, His Son. He did it. He already did it. So now He wants you to partake. He wants you to agree with Him. He wants you to acknowledge that this is true. He wants you to believe it, receive it, and trust Holy Spirit. So what do? I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for the truth that I've been set free. From everything that's of this world, I've been set free from myself, been set free from the flesh, been set free from the old nature. That dude is dead, crucified. Thank you that I've been delivered out of that, and I've been brought into the kingdom of light where I can know God and see God and walk in the Spirit and walk. Thank you that you've already done that. Thank you for releasing that truth through me. Thank you that I can walk in that and see it demonstrated. Hallelujah. Thank you that I can partake of everything I could ever possibly imagine that would be awesome and wonderful in this life, that I can freely partake. I don't have to beg anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just read that for the first two chapters of this are doctrinal, talks about what's already been done, what Christ has accomplished for us. The second two chapters, it's practical. We're not going to look at the second two chapters right now. I just want to look at some of this stuff. Okay? Okay. Okay. Jump down to verse. Let's go to verse 21. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. He's made you right in the body of His flesh through death. Now watch this. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. You, now here's where we got to get this clear, okay? Who's the you He's talking about? Who's the you He's talking about? Okay, go deeper. It's the spirit person, you, inside of your body. That's who He's talking about. He has made your spirit person. We got to begin to see this. Okay, this was a big change for me in my walk and understanding with the Lord, was when I realized that, you know, when He talks about you and what He did it to my spirit. I got a new spirit. You got a new spirit person. Born in heaven, not born on earth. You were born in heaven when you received Jesus, when you placed your faith in Him. You were born in heaven. You weren't born. The first woman that was born on earth, okay, crucified, dead, gone. You still got memory here, but that lady, that guy's gone, crucified, dead. You, every one of you here right now, the real you, the spirit person inside your body, was born in heaven. Here's the difficulty. We tend to want to figure that out based upon how we feel, based upon how we think. You can't do it. You have to believe it. Do you know you can't feel your spirit? You can sometimes feel the effects of your spirit moving. Like the wind, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. Okay, your spirit cannot be felt. Oh. Some of you say, well, I know, there's times I felt my spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit all over me. Yeah, that's the effect of your spirit and the Holy Spirit moving on you and through you. But you can't discern with feelings your spirit. How do you tell what your spirit's like? He tells us. Your spirit is holy. Your spirit is blameless. Your spirit is above reproach in His sight. What does it mean to be above reproach? Anybody that says to you, you're lacking in some way, you're coming up short, you don't have the goods, you don't have what it takes to serve God, you don't have what it takes to go for God. Anybody that says that, okay, anybody that says anything bad about you, He said the real you is above reproach. People can say all they want to say. They can put out all the negative they want to put out about you. But God says you are above reproach. Let them go ahead and spit it out. Let them go ahead and say they don't like you. Let them go ahead and say they got this wrong and that wrong about you. Let them say, but you're above reproach. They're operating down here. You're operating up here. You are above reproach. Reproach is on the flesh level down here. You are above reproach. In the sight of God, listen, it doesn't matter to me what I am in the sight of people. What matters is what I am in the sight of God. Because as I know I am in Him, that's what gets released through me, and that's what people are going to see. And some people, if they don't want anything to do with Jesus, they're going to have a hard time with that. Because they're going to see Jesus. You are above reproach. You say that? I am above reproach in His sight. Hallelujah. I love this because this is leading up to what he says is the greatest mystery for all the ages. Nobody knew about it. It's the greatest discovery, the greatest revelation ever. Look what he says. Let's go down to verse 25. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship. That means according to this understanding that I'm going to give you right now. From God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now, say, but now, has been revealed to his saints. How does he refer to you? He calls you saints. How many of you remember the day that saints used to be statues of people in churches that they canonized these people because they were so special, they were really close to God, and they declared that they were saints. Guess what? The moment you said, Jesus, I placed my faith within you, became a saint. Ooh, and now the angels, they're watching to see this. They're amazed at the grace of God. They're amazed that they want to understand more about what this grace of God is, and they get to see it by watching us, because we're the recipient of the grace, having become a new creation. So they watch us, and they see, and look what it says. But now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we ever need revelation on anything, it's the fact that Christ is in you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And that you now are glory's hope. You now are the hope of glory. You now, because Christ is in you. Wow. Wow. Oh, let me ask you a question. If Jesus was here right now in the flesh, and he said, I'm going to go home with you, Teresa. I want to ask you. She's like, yeah. And he leaves with you. And he stays with you right by your side everywhere you go. I want to ask you a question. Would you do things a little different? Would you maybe not look at some things that you didn't think about not looking at before? Would you maybe go some places maybe you didn't think about going before? Would you maybe have a little more confidence in what you're doing and when you're praying for someone? Would you? Why do we need to have him in the flesh here when we have him for real inside of us? Do we think it's a different Jesus? Do we think he's a lesser Jesus? In all of his glory, he's living inside of you and become one with you. He said this mystery, when you come to understand it, when you come to grip this truth that he is right now living in you, and you begin to walk that out, and you begin to speak that out, and you begin to understand that in everything you do, understand he's in you right now. and wants to live his life through you. What an effect. Is there anybody here you would just say, nah, that wouldn't make any difference? Every one of us, it would make a difference. It shouldn't be any different with us knowing that he's living inside of us. If you gave me, if Dick gave me some money, and he said, you hang on to this and you spend it on something that's really going to bless someone, I would take that, I put it in my pocket, and I would walk like this, guarding that money. And I would always think about, okay, how, what is this going to be best used for? Why? Because I know it was given to me, entrusted to me as a gift for me to use according to the one's desire who gave it to me. You have been gifted with his life. You have been gifted. The Spirit of Christ is living inside of you. He's in you as a gift. None of us earned it. We didn't earn it. You could never earn it. He's living in us as a gift so that we can live his life through us, so that we can bring his life to places where the need is the greatest, to the darkest places where we can bring his life. And we should be guarding it like I would be guarding that money. And I would be consciously aware of how I was going to spend it and what I was going to do with it. We should be consciously aware of his presence. And listen, this is what time and fellowship with him produces. This is what becoming more one and one with him in our experience produces. It produces a conscious awareness of his presence, of his glory with us, more so than awareness of everything around us. An awareness of what his heart would want us to do with our life in all that he's given us, rather than what we just, our flesh wants to do. That's why we need to have the eyes of our heart opened up, that we may know this glorious inheritance, this glorious gift that we've been given, Christ in you. Christ in you. Can you see it? Can you see it? He's living in you. He's alive in you. The King of Kings, the Creator God, the one who created everything is living inside of you. He doesn't come, he doesn't go. He lives and he's come to abide in you, to remain in you. He's not going to depart. He said, I'll never leave you, or I'll never forsake you. I'm in you for good. Come, let us fellowship. Eh? It's wrecking me. This understanding is wrecking me. I find myself, you know, when something's going on and it's time to respond, I have to respond out of the fact that I'm one with him. And his spirit speaks out of love and acts out of love. It's like, you know how it's a natural carnal thing that when we hear something about someone that's negative, we kind of want to like maybe spread the news. What does it do? Makes us look better. Why would somebody do that? Because it makes you look better. I can't do that. I could years ago, but I can't do it. Why? Because he can't. He doesn't see people that way. And when we realize that it's him within us, we allow him to make those changes in us. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Here's the first thing. Let's go over to Philemon or Philemon, however you say that. Who knows how to say it properly? Anybody? Right before Hebrews. Philemon? Philemon? Anybody know? Anybody? Philly? Let's go over to Philly. I can't turn your Bibles to Philly. It's 1,051 page in my Bible. Anybody else have it on that page? Look at this, verse 6. This is Philly. It's all one chapter. Verse 6. This is this is amazing. That the sharing or the communication or the transfer or the release, that the communication or the release of your faith, you want to know how to do that? You want to know how to release your faith? You want to know how to communicate your faith? Am I the only one? Come on. Okay, he's going to tell us right here. This is so powerful. That the communication or the release of your faith may become or may begin to work effective by, now watch this, by the acknowledgement. What does that mean? To acknowledge means to appreciate, accept, recognize, realize what has already been given. You can't acknowledge something that's not been given. It has to be something that's already been given, and you can acknowledge, yes. Yes, I appreciate that. I accept that. I recognize that. I realize that that is for me. Your faith becomes powerful and effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Your faith becomes effective as you acknowledge, you agree with every good thing that you have that is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say by your confession of sins. Religion says the way we get better, we get free, is we acknowledge the things that are wrong with us. Have you seen that part of religion? We acknowledge our sins. We acknowledge all that's wrong with us. We acknowledge all that's wrong with someone else. Okay, I'm going to help you get better by telling you all the things I see wrong with you. Religion says that's how we get free, by acknowledging all the things we see wrong with ourselves and with others. No! He says your faith gets released and it becomes powerful, effective, and active when you acknowledge all the good of God that is in you, all the good that's in you in Christ Jesus. When you acknowledge that, when you say, this is what's true, this is what's true of me. Forget about what you feel. Feelings don't count in the kingdom. Oh, you'll get feelings, but they'll come out of your spirit. But we don't operate on a basis of what we feel, right? Acknowledge. Okay. So acknowledge. How about acknowledging that Christ is living within you? We got to get it out of the statement realm. We got to get it out of the doctrine realm. We got to get it off the pages of this book. And we got to get the understanding inside of us of what's really happened to us. We tend to want to I don't feel like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are gone. Behold, all things have become new. How many of you, when you read that the first time, you said, well, maybe I didn't get saved? Because I sure don't feel like anything's new. I feel like the same old person. I feel like there's really nothing changed. Yeah, I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart, I believe, but I don't see anything different. That's because we don't find out what's changed by feelings. We find out what's changed by the Word of God. He tells us who the new you is, who we have become. And we need to acknowledge that list that we made up of who we are in Christ is one scripture after another of who he made you to be. Acknowledge those scriptures. It's the truth. And knowing that truth will bring you into reality, will release you into your faith just exploding. Are you with me? You know, I've been a lot of years learning. It's, you know, I'm like on the other end of the scale. You know, like there's young Christians, they're getting this stuff. It's taken me 40, 50 years to get. But I'm getting it. Hallelujah. Getting it. Christ in you. There's the mystery. Christ is alive in you. He's living in you. Him we preach, verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. What does that mean? Mature. We want to present everyone mature. That's they're walking in the Spirit. They're walking in the glory. They're walking with the understanding of who they are. We're mature. He's saying, I want to present everyone. I want to see you guys mature. Not just babies in Jesus Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working. How do I labor? Striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. How do we labor? We trust him, that resurrection life inside of us, to do it through us. Man, Lewis was telling me this. Okay, if I share this. It's okay, I share anything, right? That's good. You may change your mind. No. This week, he said, you know, it's amazing. I'm out working, and as I keep my focus while I'm working on him and fellowshipping with him, it's like all this stuff is really getting done. A lot of stuff is getting done. And it's like I'm not stressed out when somebody tells me something that I normally wouldn't like. Right? Remember all those times? Like, what? You want me to do what? What about it? And I see that that's not happening. And it's like I get through the day, and it's amazing to see how much I got done as I just focus on him. Focus on him who's living in me. Put my focus, my communion with him. Can you do that while you work? You know, listen, for years I was able to work all day long where my mind was constantly thinking about all the worries and cares and concerns that I had. I was still able to work. Well, the same part of us that produces worry and stress and anxiety and dwells on that same part of us is what we use to meditate on the Word of God, on who he is. So we can do it. During the day, we can keep our focus on him. It's true. I dare you to try it. Oh, so look at chapter 2. Yeah. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that the hearts may be... Now, this verse is pregnant. It's really pregnant. It's really pregnant. It's about 9.5 months pregnant. And it's ready to pop. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. Now, let me read it again. That their hearts... Our hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding of the experiential knowledge that Jesus Christ is living in me. That's what he's talking about. That our hearts would be encouraged and knit together in love, and attain to all the riches of the full assurance. Well, there's assurance, and then there's full assurance. The full assurance of understanding to the experiential knowledge. That knowledge is not head knowledge. That knowledge, that word is experiential knowledge of the mystery of God, which is Christ is alive in me. The Spirit of Christ is living within me and become one with my spirit. Right now. He's saying that we would be encouraged to be able to have the full assurance of the understanding. Okay, so the first thing is we need to acknowledge what's happened to us. Acknowledge who we are in Jesus Christ. Acknowledge all the good things that we have in Christ. We need to acknowledge. The next thing is we need to understand what we're talking about. If we don't, you know, if you just say, okay, I acknowledge that Christ is living within me, but you have zero understanding how that works, how that works out, okay, you're going to get dead-ended right there. He says that we would have understanding. Okay, so first the acknowledgement, next comes understanding of what we just acknowledged. How many of you, there's been many times in your Christian life, you've acknowledged things, but you didn't understand what you were saying. You didn't understand the truth of what just came out of your mouth. Well, it was a lot for me. Am I the only one? Okay. But he's saying something huge is going to happen when we understand this, when you get a grip on the fact that he's living in you. He's not visiting. He's not coming to just say hello and then leave again. He's not coming because of a crisis, because you cried out. He's living, abiding, remaining in you, one with you in your spirit. I really wish I had words that could explain this. I don't. Any more than what I'm saying. Go back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Can you feel Apostle Paul's heart as he shares this with these people? Just longing for them to see the reality of what's happened to them. What did I say? Matthew 13, verse 19. It's a parable of the sower. Four types of soil, which is four types of the heart. Verse 19 says, Jesus said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, well, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. I've had over the years so much of the seed of the word of God stolen out of my heart because it didn't get to take root, because I didn't understand what I was saying. I didn't get it. There's only one of the four types of heart that Satan has access to steal the seed. And it's this one, the one that doesn't understand. When I started to understand how Christ could be in me was when I saw in James where the word of God is a mirror. And he said, how many of you, when you go up to the mirror and you look in it and you walk away, you forget what you look like? He said, for those of us who read the word, we speak the word, and then we turn away and we forget what it is and what it means. We forget. We just walk away as if we don't know. Okay, we're reading it, we speak it, but we don't understand it. And that was me for so many years. But when we understand that he wants us to understand, hang on, because it's going to happen. Okay, so here's the understanding that I got. A lot of you have got it, I'm sure. Some of you maybe hasn't really hit home yet. Okay, the understanding is that the part of me that was changed, the part of me that was born again, is my spirit. I can't look in my body. I can't look in my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. I've got to look at my spirit. The Word of God, when it talks about who I am, it's talking about my spirit man, okay? So I can understand. That's how right now your spirit woman is seated in heaven with Jesus Christ. Yet she's here right here too. You're in two places right now. The real you, you're in two places. You see, you try to figure that out with your head, you're going to get confused. You try to feel that in your body, you're not going to feel it because it can't be discerned that way. It's spiritually discerned by us understanding the word is describing to us, and we believe it by faith. That's what we do. So our spirit is where all the action is. Our spirit is where the kingdom is. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Where is it? It's in your spirit. The Spirit of God is in you, one with you. Where? In your spirit. Jesus Christ is in you. Where? In your spirit. Okay? What about your body? What about your mind, will, and emotions? Your mind's got to get renewed. And the spirit will come out and go to your body when your mind begins to understand that that's what he's here to do. And that's who you are. That he will actually give life to your mortal frame. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, and your spirit will flow out into your body and go to those body parts that need help. He will do that when you understand that it's coming out of the Spirit and you're not waiting to feel something in your body. You're not waiting to have a mindset. You'll get the mindset. Your mind gets renewed to the truth. And then what happens is we understand that you are, I am pure, I am holy, I am blameless, I am above reproach. That's the real me. Okay, I'm training and teaching my mind. I'm teaching my soul so my mind can get renewed so it can agree with me, the real me. When I get my mind to begin to agree, the Spirit can flow out. It's when I began to see that and understand it, that's what he's talking about. When I got that understanding, that everything began to open up for me. Don't look for it in your body. Don't look for it in your mind. Spiritually discern. Believe it. Believe the words that are said in Scripture. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Okay. Verse 18, 19, 20, 21. Okay. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Okay. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Acknowledgement, understanding, and assuring our heart. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the heart is an integral part of what he's able to do in and through us. He says, shall assure our hearts. What does it mean to assure your heart? It's the, when your heart is assured, it means there's no doubt. It's the removal of doubt. How many of you know, can you kind of feel like when you're not sure about something, you've got just a little bit of doubt? How much doubt does it take to stop things? Microscopic amount of doubt stops the flow of the Spirit. And he's saying we need to have assurance in our heart. That means no doubt in our heart. We need to have that. For if our heart condemns us, that means makes us understand it ain't working. We have confidence. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Okay, so if you got doubt inside of you, he's saying don't stress because God's greater than that. He's not going to take away all the inheritance. He's not going to say, okay, I'm pulling these things out because you doubt. He's never going to do that. God is greater than the condition of our heart. And he still remains with everything that's available for us. That's the good news. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Remember something. That even when we fail, when we mess up, God doesn't. And he will still pick you up. He'll still put you back on the road. He'll still clean you off. He'll still show you the right way. Even when you don't know, even when you mess up. That's the grace of God. And I remember, there's been so many things that have happened that I could talk about here. How many of you prayed for people that have died? You prayed for them not to die. And they died. I remember it was Corey, Len, and Melody's son. That was a major turning point for me. It was a number of us that prayed, and we thought we were convinced that he was not going to die. And he did. And people were telling me, here's what I was hearing. Okay, well, it's obvious that it was God's will to take him home. I said, I disagree. He's told me what his will is. His will is to heal. His will is to restore. He's a young man. And I'm not moving off of that. Do I understand why? I don't understand why. But I do understand what the will of the Lord is. It's to heal. It's to restore. It's to set free. It's to give life where there is no life. by his stripes, Corey was already healed in the spiritual realm. Why didn't we see it? I watched a number of people around me fall away because they were praying and standing and believing, and they didn't see it happen, so they began to fall away. They began to stop praying. They began to stop moving away from God because they felt like their prayers were useless. And what I did was I got on my face and I said, God, I don't understand, but I do understand. You already paid. You already paid the price for him not to die. Why I didn't see that, I don't know. But I am not going to hang out in that camp. I'm going to keep moving on. I had to assure my heart that God's will was still to heal. God's will was still to restore. That God's will was still to lift up. That I had to assure my heart. I had to choose to bring assurance to my heart. I didn't want to be like so many people that just fall away because they were disappointed. They didn't understand. I didn't understand. But I had a responsibility to assure my heart that God's word is true and he is faithful. Number one thing is that God did not make a mistake. God did not kill him. God did not do that. He did not. God didn't fail. His word didn't fail. I don't know where the failure was. It might have been me. It might have been some of us praying. Maybe there was that much. I don't know. But I can't focus on that. I can't dwell on that. I can't live on that. I've got to assure my heart so that I can go on. So I began immediately just to go out and pray for more people. I just started praying for more people. Instead of backing up and retreating and just throwing hands up and say, oh, I don't get this whole thing. I stepped into it more. I can tell you, if I had joined that camp, I would not be here today. I would not be standing here today. I had to believe. We have to assure our heart. We have to assure our heart. Do we understand all this stuff? No, we're coming to understand more and more. But when he's given us his word and we don't see the manifestation of what this word says is his will, we don't just throw our hands up and give up. Say, I don't understand this one here yet, but that's okay. I'm continuing on. So what we have to do, we have a responsibility to assure our heart, to keep our heart in full assurance. No doubt. Oh man, did I get hammered with the doubts. Then, and many other times, I got hammered with the doubts. You did too, didn't you? Lots of doubts. What's the purpose of that? To take us out of activity, to keep us from doing the will of the Lord. There's been many times, you know, I'm in a position in the mission field, I get up in front of all these people, okay, and it's time for demonstration. Because the gospel's meant to demonstrate, not just talk about, not just words. And I get somebody standing in front of me. This has happened more than once. And whatever the condition is, I pray. Once, nothing happens. Pray twice, nothing happens. Pray three times, nothing happens. There's zero movement. And all these people are staring at me. And they're waiting. And I know what's happening. I know what's going through their mind. I know what the enemy's filling their head with. Yeah. Yeah, he's just a phony. He's one of those false apostles. Can't do nothing. Okay. I know that because he's doing that in my head. So what do I do? Do I just go sit down and say, okay, meeting's over? No. I am not going to move off of the fact that, Jesus, this is absolutely your will. You've already paid for this to happen, and I'm not backing off. So the first time this happened, I said, is there anybody here, you've never prayed for somebody and seen a miracle before? I've already prayed for like 5 minutes, which seemed like 3 hours. Because nothing moved. Anybody here never seen a miracle before? And when you want to come up here and you want to see a miracle? Well, they're very shy. We're talking pastors and church leaders. And nobody wants to say, you know, I said, they don't want to raise their hand. Well, one guy does. He comes up. I said, now, you go ahead and you pray and you command that sickness to come off this person. And a dude prays. and a sickness goes. Like that. What if I didn't assure my heart? What if I didn't stand in that place with, I don't know what I just saw, but I know this, your word is still true, and your word is still the same. And you've already paid for this person to be healed. You see, we just need to be ready to move into another way for God to demonstrate. We need to move to a place where, you know, number one, when you're in a position like that, God doesn't want everybody thinking, here's the man. God doesn't want everybody thinking, oh, you got to get a little Tony to pray for you. He's the one with the goods. He's the one with the anointing. God does not want that. We're there to show them they could do the same thing that we do. And if he needs to cause somebody not to get it because I'm praying in order for them to begin to realize that, hallelujah. But I'm going to assure my heart that there is nothing wrong with his word. There is nothing wrong with God. There is nothing wrong with his intentions. His intentions are pure. His intentions are to perform his word. His word will never return void, will never return empty. That's his plan. And I've got to reinforce that and reassure my heart and not buy anything that has filled with doubt and unbelief. It's our responsibility to do that for ourselves. I remember when we were in India. Nancy's shaking her head. She had a hard time in India. We were in India, and we were at a crusade, and this lady came up. They brought her up, and she's standing in front of me. And I asked, you know, what the problem was, and they said, she's totally blind. She's been blind all of her life. Her children are standing behind her. Her husband that she married and never has seen is standing there. And I prayed, and nothing happened. I prayed again, and nothing happened. I prayed again, and nothing happened. Let me tell you, what I'll do is I'll get another team member over. Would you come over here and pray for this person? Because I'm convinced that that's God's will. If it doesn't happen through another team member, then we'll get someone else that's around to pray. But after the third time, she starts crying. I said, what's happening? She said, I can see out of this eye. Oh. She said, do it again over here. I said, ma'am, I didn't do it over here. That was Jesus. You see, she said, well, I don't care who it was. Whoever did it to the first eye, have them do it to the second eye. I said, well, understand this. I'm not a healer, okay? I have living within me the healer. That's Jesus the Christ. And he opens your eye. I said, now you want your other eye open? Yes. I said, well, what about Jesus? I didn't open your eye. He did. And I can't open your second eye. Only he can. And he wants you to place your faith in him. Out of your Hindu religion, place your faith in him. He'll come to live within you. And he will walk with you all the days of your life. The healer himself will be living within you. Would you like that? She bowed her head and cried a little more. And she said, yes. I said, place your faith in him right now. He forgave all your sins. Just place your faith in him to give you a new life. She said, I place my faith in you, Jesus. Come and live in me. Now, she looked up and she said, I can see. I didn't pray. There was no prayer. The moment that she placed her faith within Jesus said, now watch me. I'm going to open your other eye. And both of her eyes were open. And I'm watching. I'm watching God do who he is. It's not about us. And he's not out to promote us. And he's going to work in such a way that we're not going to be promoted. We have to continue to encourage our heart. We need to continue to assure our heart that he is who he says he is. And if we will stand steadfast and continue to press in and don't back off, don't give up, don't ever give up. And I had the thrill of doing this. I said, ma'am, would you like to see your family? Oh, she turned around. Said, these are your kids. It's your husband. And they're all like got in a huddle and they're jumping up and down. Yeah! And they're talking in Hindi. I don't know what they were saying. So they were like, and then all of a sudden she stopped. And the interpreter was telling me what she said. She looked at all of them. She said, all of you are receiving Jesus right now. Try. You go ahead and try to convince somebody in the Hindu religion that they need to switch to Christianity. Good luck. That's why there needs to be a demonstration. It's because we're together with Him. Here's the beauty, okay, of the fact that now I know. When I knew that He was living within me, He was one with me. Now I became like bolder. And I pray for a lot of people that I wouldn't pray for before, because it's not about me. I'm carrying the one who's going to do this. I'm bringing Him to people who are needy, and He's going to do it through me. Okay, I'm just a vessel carrying Him. It's not about me anymore. It's not about me having all the theology right. It's not about me having all my ducks in a row. It's not about me being a holy person and having all my sins forgiven that I just did today. They've already been forgiven. It's not about what I do. It's about who I'm trusting in. And I began to see more and more and more and more. But continually I needed to assure my heart. To assure my heart that He is true. He is faithful. His word is true. He's faithful to perform His word. Wow. 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 1 Corinthians 15:33. So there's the acknowledgement of the truth. There's the understanding of the truth. And then there's the assuring our heart that it's true. Reassuring our heart that it's true. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil communications corrupts good habits. How many of you got some evil communications from people coming at you? It's not godly. It's not godly talk. It's not God talk. It's fleshly talk. It's worldly talk. It's trash talk. It's coming at you during the days. Y'all got it? Is it all coming at all of you? Yeah. He says something here. Now, have you heard people say, oh, none of that stuff can touch me? He says, evil communications will corrupt your good character. So what do we do? I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I do. Look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah. You ready? Isaiah 54, verse 17. Got it, Harvey? How does the enemy come against us? How does he come against us? He comes against us with words. Yeah, you'll hear something like, man, this is the worst ever. Oh my, can it get any worse than this? Oh my, this is really bad. Oh, this is going to kill me. Oh man, this is doing me in. Oh my gosh. Okay. The enemy comes at us with words. He pops them in our head and expects us to be a parrot and pop them out. This, we got to take those words captive. But what do you do when you got somebody around you who's mouthing these words off? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Okay, he links weapon with words. He said, you shall condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Okay. Now, how many of you, you're just nice people? And you just let people go on in their craziness, spouting these crazy words off in your face because you're just nice and you're being polite. And maybe you're kind of quiet like I am. For years, I didn't say nothing. And I couldn't understand why I was having difficulty. Well, you know, you don't have to get in their face and yell it back at them. But you can whisper it. I reject that word. I condemn that word. It's not appropriate for me, a son of the living God. I don't receive that word. I place a wall between that word and me, and it getting in me at all, no way, shape, or form. It ain't getting there. It's not getting there. I was telling you about the last time I went to the doctor over my leg, and he said I had to go another month before I could have any therapy or even begin to put any weight on my leg. It was a turning point in the development of the healing in my leg when I did not accept that. I would not accept that because it's contrary to what God said. And I told him, it's not the way it's going to be. I'm going to be going to Liberia on the 19th of February. He just looked at me. And I'm going to be having therapy now, and I need to begin starting to use this thing now. In the spirit, it was like a stake was driven right there. And it was a turning point in the release of what is mine. The healing that Jesus paid for me to have. It was a turning point. And from that day, I've watched accelerated. This isn't supposed to happen. I'm not supposed to be able to do this. But I didn't receive that word. I wouldn't accept that word. And I was very nice to him, but I was firm. This is the way it is. This is what's going to happen. And his reply was, man, you're pretty strong-willed. It's nothing to do with my will, but you can think whatever you want. Okay? Because this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. I'm not buying what you're saying. I'm not receiving what you're saying. If I had received that and I said, yes, doctor, then I would not be standing here right now. We need to recognize that the enemy uses words. We acknowledge the truth. We acknowledge who we are. We acknowledge that Jesus is in us, living in us, one with us. We understand what that means. And we fully assure our heart. We've got to stand in the assurance. Back to Colossians, and we'll read a couple more scriptures and we'll wrap it up. I hope that you're getting excited to read this whole book. Yeah? Look at verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. In whom are hidden, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Okay. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, in my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's like I get from Paul that he was kind of saying, you know, my position is, if all you've got is persuasive words, then you shouldn't be behind a pulpit. You shouldn't be standing in somebody's face telling them what they need, preaching to them. If all you've got is persuasive words, that's not what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is about words with power. The kingdom is about a demonstration of power. And we need to come to the place where we realize the Spirit of God always wants to release a demonstration. You're praying for someone, you're encouraging someone on the street, this should be a demonstration. Believe that. Assure your heart that that's what God wants to do that. Don't just accept just words. Are you with me? Verse 5, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How'd you receive him? How did you receive Jesus? Was there something you did? What was the work that you did to get saved? Oh. There wasn't any. What did you do? Believe in your heart. You put faith in him. He says, guys, stop trying to do stuff. Keep living the way you came into this kingdom. You place your faith in him who's living within you, this awesome mystery that's now real in you. You place your faith in him being united with you to live his life through you. There's nobody can be better live his life than him. He's not asking us to try to live the Christ life. You can't do it. He's asking us to trust in him now, to just the same way we came in, to trust him to live it through us, to speak through us. Apparently, the Colossians were a little bit confused there. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay. You want to abound in your faith, then you're going to be a thankful person. You're going to be thanking God about everything. Wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for giving me breath this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the strength to get out of this bed. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go out of this house today. Thank you for giving me supernatural ability to be able to relate to people and help people. Thank you, Lord, the fact that you're living within me and you made me brand new and I have the mind of Christ and I can do the same things as Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, you want to see your faith abound and become a thankful person. Oh, I didn't know I had water. Oh, yeah. Just do it. Do it every day for a month. And you won't have to think about doing it anymore. You just do it. Now, I had a hard time with that in the beginning, okay, because I was always, I mean, I came into Christianity out of a life of a lost man that was like a worry wart. Worry wart. You know what a wart looks like? Well, this was a wart that worries, okay? I was a mess. I mean, everything was a problem. Everything was, you know, somebody would say something and I would take the pessimistic side on it. Somebody would say something and say, oh, yeah, but what about this? Or they would tell me something, say, oh, yeah, well, you know, this could happen too, and that could go wrong too. You know, I was just that way about everything, you know, and I was a mess. That's why I missed my senior year of high school, missed the whole year because I had bleeding ulcers. Now, here I am, I'm 18 years old, bleeding ulcers, because I was a worry wart, okay? I thought the problems. I thought about all the things that are wrong, okay? And then I become a Christian, and that's still my mindset. I'm a brand new person on the inside, and I know that's not the way I'm supposed to live, but I still got this crazy thinking there, and it took me a while to come to the place where I allow the Spirit of God to overcome that. And now I think, for the most part, I'll turn a negative statement positive. Because God, there's nothing negative about God. He's totally 100% positive. He's totally good. His thoughts towards us are good. He doesn't have any bad thoughts to us. He cannot. And he's the one living within us. Wow. Wow. Go down to verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in him. Why is the church looking to go here, there, and everywhere to get some more from God? He said you're complete in him. Where is he? In you. You have everything that you ever will need in you right now. Christ in you. You have everything you'll ever need. Why is the church going all over the place trying to get more? Trying to get more from God. He says you're complete. Okay, maybe not mature yet. Okay, you ever see a baby when a baby comes out, because birth? What's the first thing you do? 2 feet, 5 toes, legs, 2 arms, 2 hands, got a nose, 2 eyes. Yeah, looks pretty complete. Okay, everything's there. All the parts are there. Okay, mature? No, not mature. It has to grow up and to understand how to use all the complete parts that it's been given. We need to grow up as believers to understand all the completeness that we've been given. One more verse and we're done. We're going to jump over to 5th. There's so much stuff here. We could spend forever. Oh my gosh. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You know, seem pretty simple? Let me explain what Apostle Paul meant when he said this, okay? That word triumphing, it has the meaning, it comes from the Roman era where it's a triumphant procession. And what it means is when they go to war with someone and they capture the leader of the other army, they bring that leader back. They strip the leader of all of his clothes. They cut off his right toe. They cut off his thumbs. Cut off his thumbs because you can't grab a sword and fight without a thumb. So he can never pick a sword up and fight you again. Cut off his big toes. Why? Because he can never run after you again. They strip him. Why? To humiliate him. And then they have a parade. Now, this is a parade that is... How many of you know that when something happens in the eternal realm, in the spirit realm, it's eternal. And you can see it again and again. And with your spirit, you can see this. What I'm going to describe to you now, you can see it in the spirit, okay? Because it's eternal. It's not just a one-time event. It's eternal. What happened is an eternal event. So, they take the ruler. They take the ruler and they parade. They have a parade and they put him on a horse or in a chariot, and they run him down the street for everybody to look at the humiliation that this guy is receiving and to know this is the guy that we were afraid of. This is the guy who we thought was going to kill us and destroy us and damage us. This is the guy, and they parade him. Okay. There's many Christians that I know that have never been to this parade. There was a God parade, a Jesus parade, where he completely wiped out the authority of the enemy. He completely wiped out the ability of the enemy to do any damage to you. Completely took everything, stripped him clean, stripped him down, cut off the parts that would be used to fight against you, and he paraded them in the spiritual realm for all the spiritual realm to see. The devil completely stripped of everything that he could do damage to you with. Stripped of it. Totally, completely humiliated. The devil has been completely humiliated in this parade. Now, there's a lot of believers, they've never been to that parade. They think, you go to the average church and they talk about how powerful the devil is, how damaging he can be. There's all these spiritual warfare conferences that they have. Do you know the word warfare? That assumes that there are two opposing parties who have never been defeated. To have warfare, you've got to have two parties who have never been defeated to have warfare. There is no warfare with the devil. It's man-made. It's religious made. The devil is a defeated foe. There's no warfare. There's no fight with the devil against God. It's completely over. God wants us to see the parade of the devil being brought down the streets for all the church to see. Completely stripped, completely powerless, completely unable to do anything. All he's got is a big mouth. All he's got is a big mouth to release words to get you to try to believe these lying words. He's a liar. All he's got to do is to try to get, it's all he can do is to get you to believe lies. You don't have to. You don't have to anymore. There has been a triumphant procession. In all the spiritual realm, all the angels know it. They all know it. They've all seen it. The enemy is completely stripped. Now, what happens to us when we see it? What happens to us when we see it? You know, you go out there to the world, and they hear us, the church, talking about the devil did this and the devil did that, and how bad the devil's doing all these things, and they're like, they don't even think about the devil. They think we're nuts. It's because of the measure we are when we make that a priority. He's nothing. This whole letter was written to show the preeminence of Jesus Christ, to show that he is above everything. That nothing can even come close to him. That as we place our trust within him for everything, he releases everything that we need with trust in him, and we need to fear nothing. Fear no one, especially the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I quit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready? I want to encourage you. Spend time with him. Acknowledge the truth that he gives you. Trust him to give you understanding, and he will. And then continually reassure and assure your heart. Don't accept doubt. He's the victory that Jesus Christ has won is the greatest victory ever. It's totally complete. You lack nothing. Your spirit woman, your spirit man lacks nothing. You've got the goods. So what happens? What happens when the bad news comes? I'm not the only one that gets bad news, right? I think we all get bad news, okay? You need to take those words and you need to make them subject to the completed work of Jesus Christ. You need to not let any of that sit inside of you. None of it. None of it. Nope. I want to ask, where's Al? Oh, sorry. Gene and Al to come up here. Before you all leave, we want to pray for them, okay? They're going on two different kinds of mission trips. And this time next week, Gene will be in Uganda. This time next week, Al will be in the Philippines. And we just want to bless them. Speak a word over them if God gives you one. Give them a hug, a holy hug. Send them off because they're not going alone. We're family. And we go together. Whatever happens with them happens with us. Very real in the spirit. Very real. Spirit. Amen. So come on. Come on up here. Let's get around them.